the Back to Health Link On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. Linda Cohen along with you. You know, over the course of a generation, the marathon has undergone a startling change in status. What was once a challenging stunt attempted by only a few intrepid souls is now a rite of passage for many. It's the coolest test out there of fitness and health. While you can categorize this current marathon mania as a fitness boom, since there's little doubt that training for this kind of race is one of the best ways to improve your health and fitness, because over the years, studies have shown that regular exercise decreases everything from high LDL cholesterol to high blood pressure. But lately, evidence has begun to mount that running the race is anything but good for your health. Not only did two high-profile marathon deaths occur in the fall of 2007, but recent studies have shown that pushing your body to run 26.2 miles can cause at least minor injury to your heart. So what's the real scoop about these endurance sports like marathons while their popularity is still growing? Well, joining us this morning to shed some light on this dilemma is a doctor who specializes in providing medical care at endurance events all over the country. Dr. Jeremy Joslin is an emergency physician and an EMS and disaster medicine fellow at Upstate Medical University, and he's the director of the Wilderness and Expedition Medicine Fellowship Program there. Dr. Joslin also serves as a medical director for marathons, including the inaugural Empire State Marathon that's going to take place in Syracuse on October 10th, and endurance events all over the country. Welcome, Dr. Joslin. Thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me.
First, tell me, how did you get into this line of work?
My title sounded a little bit long when you were going
through
it.
Absolutely. It was hard to say.
all those parts of it, I think, really do kind of nicely fit together to provide medical direction for endurance events. Emergency physician. There's a lot of emergencies that can happen. EMS and disaster medicine fellow. So I'm actually doing specialized training and learning how to coordinate EMS agencies and provide medical oversight for them and really bring emergency medicine out of the emergency department and into the pre-hospital environment. And then as far as wilderness and expedition medicine goes, I've done some special training in being able to provide medical care in the world's most austere environments. And so one of the things that's also occurring as sort of a trend is that some of these endurance events are going from the streets of a city of Syracuse, let's say, out to the Sahara Desert or the Gobi Desert, or even Antarctica. There's a marathon that's held in Antarctica. And so being able to provide medical services anywhere in the world in the most austere environments is something that I really enjoy doing and I'm learning more and more about. And it just so happens that I think that I can put all these skills together and provide decent medical direction at some of these local events.
You've got a trip coming up soon.
I do,
too.
Yeah. Next week I'm headed out to Utah. There's 35 people registered for an ultra marathon. It's 150 miles through the desert of Utah over 6 days.
And that's in remote Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Seconding what you just said about...
Correct. Yeah, there is no cell phone service. There is no medical facilities. There is no civilization for probably 90% of that race.
So exactly what do you do as a medical director for an event like that? What's your role?
I think trying to keep people safe. Like you mentioned in the introduction, there are some inherent risks that go along with events like this. There's risks that go along with any event. There's risks with waking up in the morning and brushing your teeth. But in an event like this, there are some risks. And so my role, I think, is to try to keep people safe, let them do this activity that they decided that they want to do, and try to plan for, try to predict even, what kind of problems could happen and make sure that myself or the medical staff that's there is prepared to deal with those problems when they develop.
Right. So it sounds like there are, obviously, as I said in the introduction, there have to be some personal health benefits to this.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's just go over, what do you think, what are the good things that happen as a result of these kinds of marathons or even ultra marathons?
Well, I think the most obvious thing is in order to accomplish it, you need to practice and work out and get up to the point where you can actually do it.
So the training, the whole
all of that training that happens, that's...
Diet plays a role in that, and in readiness and basically getting your body fit enough to experience something?
Right,
like that.
And when you look at people who do these types of events, they are trying to eat healthy, stay healthy, exercise regularly to try to be in shape and be healthy. And so having that goal of completing this task, this marathon or this ultra marathon, if you will, getting up to being able to accomplish that requires that you do certain things in advance, and those things are healthy.
Mm-hmm. And like I said, it does reduce cholesterol. I mean, all of that kind of fitness.
All the benefits from regular training and being healthy.
Right. So clearly you're talking about risks. So what are the kinds of risks that can occur, and what are the potential hazards?
Well, just like there's hazards with waking up in the morning. So bad things do happen, unfortunately, to people all the time. And so there's the regular emergencies, if you will, if I can use that term, that might happen when you collect a group of 30 or 1,000, or in the case of some of these races, 10, 15,000 people together.
Wow.
There are problems that are going to happen just when you accumulate those people. So being able to be prepared for the regular emergencies that might happen.
Give us an example.
People have heart attacks at a regular rate all over the city. On any given day of the week. And it just so happens that it might be at one of these events.
Mm-hmm. It could even be a spectator.
It could be, and yes. It
doesn't necessarily have to be a participant. So
correct. You're
saying you have to be ready for any of those kinds of, even somebody maybe breaking their toe or stubbing their toe badly, I would think that would be part of your responsibility.
All of the people who are at this event need to be taken care of and have contingencies developed and prepared for.
But how about specific to the event? What are the kinds of injuries you've seen? Because you've done this now. You've been doing a number throughout the country and all over. Actually, have you gone internationally?
Yeah, I worked a race in the Gobi Desert and the Sahara Desert. Those are two international trips that I've done.
Wow.
Also over a week, 150 miles each for those as well.
Incredible.
So every race and every event has its own set of risks. They're all really unique. And it's interesting when you talk to people, different people tend to do different types of races. So the person who wakes up and does a 5K race, it might be a little bit different than the person who is training for the 100-mile race.
I would think so.
Or the 150-mile race.
I mean, the 5K I think I could even possibly see myself doing, but forget the other.
Right. And so by attracting different people, those people have different risks. And so someone who does a 5K race might not be at that peak of elite athletic fitness that somebody else might be. And so they're probably more likely to hurt themselves, probably more likely to maybe not fully comprehend the risk of heat and dehydration and maybe push themselves too hard. Whereas somebody who's more elite or has more experience has learned to tune into their body and to understand, I might be pushing a little too hard, I'm going to back off just a little bit because I want to do this another day. I don't want to hurt myself.
It's interesting because what you're suggesting is that in order to arrive at the ability to do these super endurance marathon type things or super marathons, you would have had to acquire a certain amount of experience, and that might impact on how you might or may not injure yourself.
Right.
That's really what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so I think there is a sort of a preventable component to it based on your experience and your knowledge and the risk that you're taking by how much you push yourself. But there are also things that just happen no matter what.
So what things have you seen?
Well, everything from the standard orthopedic injuries, blisters. There's a whole science developing now on treating blisters optimally so that the athlete can get back into the race.
Really?
Or to even prevent blisters from happening in the first place. There's a lot of neat little tricks that I've learned and that I'm certainly open to learning more and talk to as many people as I can to try to learn some of these other tricks. But there's actually a science developing as a part of that.
That's so fascinating.
Other orthopedic things, dehydration, of course. The big thing that we worry about is heat illness and somebody who's pushing themselves and unable to cool themselves down in hot environments.
Have you seen any deaths?
In the races that I've worked here locally, I've not seen any deaths.
Not. And internationally, neither?
Internationally, I've not been there for them. Mm-hmm. There are deaths that do occur, mm-hmm. something that we always have to be prepared for, unfortunately, to deal with. And when a death does occur, it's just the worst possible thing that could happen.
Of course.
And it really affects the race, as it should. And it's just something that we try to prevent, but of course is unpreventable.
I guess this leads me to a question here, because obviously with this becoming so much of a craze, more and more people doing it, it strikes me that there's probably more pressure on younger and younger people, you know, to start training or to seeing this as perhaps, you know, a goal that they want to emulate. Do you have any feelings about that? Do you think there's an age that's too young for people to start running serious long races? I mean, from your experience.
And yeah, from my experience, I don't, you know, I usually, the question that I'm asking myself is a little bit different than that. I'm actually seeing elderly people get involved with races. When you mentioned the age thing, that just sort of triggered my mind. So to answer your question specifically, I've not seen a lot of younger people trying to push themselves. And certainly if young people are trying to be fit and active, I think that's always a good thing. I've not seen younger people pushing themselves too much to the point of injury personally. What I have seen is older people who are more mature and who have a lot more experience realizing that they can do a lot more than they ever thought that they could do.
So that's the upside of it.
Yeah.
So, but you have you seen any of the downside of older people running when
maybe I have.
Not? Yeah,
I have. And sometimes it's unfortunate because some of these trips or expedition length races cost a lot of money to get into, and maybe it's that person who's gotten to the point in life where they can afford to do some of these more tourist type races where they are expensive. And put a lot of money and effort and resources into getting there, and then maybe not perform as well as they thought, and sort of be a letdown to themselves in a way because of that.
But have you seen any, you know, morbidity or any kind of mortality
and of course,
associated to that?
The older people do tend to be more prone to develop heat illness and do have some of the other health risks just that you develop over time, health problems that might play a role in their participation.
What would you give? What kind of advice might you offer to parents or individuals who are thinking of? Because this is not just running a 5K. We're talking about mm-hmm. We're talking about these endurance sports
sure.
that really are very taxing to the body. I mean, do you have? Would you recommend people to get involved or to stay? How do you? I guess the big question I ask to myself is how do you walk the fine line between competing and pushing your body toward health and fitness while not damaging yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I would say I do recommend that if people want to make it a goal in their life to be able to say, I ran this marathon or I ran 50 miles, I do recommend people make goals like that and work to achieve them. But when you're doing it, when you're racing, you got to really pay attention. It's not just about how well your legs work, but you got to use your brain in these as well. And the people who have done this a lot will agree with me that it's a lot of this is mental, and it's being smart about it, and it's knowing that if it's 90 degrees and high humidity, stop. Just do it another day because you're going to take on too much risk. There is some humility that has to go into knowing when to just take a step back and stop and not go on.
Humility and wisdom both.
And wisdom and, yeah. and knowing in a race it's hard to do, but that's the people who are wise that mm-hmm. do that. And I congratulate people in races who do stop because they realize that they're getting to a point where it's dangerous. And I always try to congratulate them because that's something that takes a lot.
Very brief moment we have left. What was it like being in the Gobi Desert or the Sahara for that matter?
Beautiful.
Really?
Absolutely beautiful.
What time of year was it?
Fall.
Okay.
Our fall. I don't know. The Sahara doesn't have a fall per se, but.
What were the temperatures?
They're high in the day, you know, 100, 110.
Oh my God.
And
but dry.
They get cold. Yeah, they get very cold at night.
Wow.
50s, 40s.
Well, Dr. Jeremy Jocelyn, emergency medicine physician and clearly, you know, an aficionado about races. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing all this information with us. We have to take another short break. We'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.